What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Aftermath Podcast. I am your host, Christopher Tenpenny, joined by my co-host, my friend, my good buddy, CJ Jones. How are you doing, my man? Football's here.
Hey, Saturday was very hot. Not as hot as going to be this week because it rained today and it's projected to be 100 degrees all week. But training camp was amazing. Day one for the fans, for the media, for everyone to be involved. So it was a great day. Had another great day today, too, today. So I'm looking forward to the future. But training camp is here, Chris. Football season is in the air. And I can't be more excited, my friend.
Yeah, our longtime listeners know CJ is always where the action is, whether it's at Arrowhead on Sundays or at training camp. That man always can't wait to get in front of football. How was it? You said it was hot, but, like, how was it Saturday?
It was good. I mean, you got to see. They had a shorter practice. Usually the practices are, like, 2 to 2.5 hours. That one was, like, a solid hour and 45. It started at 9. And they was out of there by like 10:30, 10:45. So they weren't out there too long. They got some good work in. Did some one-on-ones, did 7-on-7, a little bit 11-on-11 work. But it was good to see all the young guys make plays and see everyone getting involved. And just good to see everybody's faces and see all the new faces as well. So.
Right, man. It's hard to believe that July, end of July, football's almost here, man. It just sneaks up on you. It's like, I can't wait, or it's like, it seems so far away once the Super Bowl ends and after the parade and everything this year.
A year makes, bro. Just a year ago, we were all having all these questions, and then it seems like, boom, we're right here again.
Right. Yeah. Goodness, football is here. Wow. But we, as exciting as that is, as pumped as we are.
Here we go.
We got to start with where we've started basically every, you know, episode since the Super Bowl. Maybe not on draft day. Maybe that's the only one that we didn't get into this. But as always, what is going to happen with Chris Jones, CJ Jones, you know, your twin? What's going on with your twin, man?
I don't know, man. I know the deal's going to get done. I know him and Veeps are working hard behind the scenes, but it just doesn't look good. So, you know, the court of public opinion is undefeated, so. Whatever people feel is what's going on. And then you got guys like Adam Schefter, or what was his word he used in his tweet? They're far apart.
But then, optimistic? Like, how does that go?
I don't know what more you can say. So, but he definitely put the fire on that was already lit for the Chiefs Kingdom. So everyone was already super excited to see Chris be out there. And I think we kind of had a feeling he wasn't going to be there day one. Because, I mean, like, the deal wasn't announced on Friday or during that week. So, you know, okay, if it's not announced, he's not going to just show up and sign a contract same day. But it's definitely, you know, the Chiefs, the fans, they want him here. Chiefs Kingdom is super excited. They're passionate. They love their players. We love this team. And we just obviously want what's best for him and what's best for the team at the same time. So it's definitely going to be a interesting next week to see what happens. Because in my prediction, I tweeted out Saturday after I left training camp, I think Chris shows up when we put pads on, which is usually around a week after your first practice. So this weekend is kind of like my timeline. But what do you think, Chris? What do you think he's going to do?
I think you're probably right if I had to guess, but I think that's really like you're missing the easiest time. You know how hot it is in St. Joe, Missouri right now? Nice. And you're going to get fined $50,000 a day to not be in pads. Like, that just seems silly to me. I get that this is a contract negotiation. You got to do what you got to do to get your money. But, like, you're willingly getting fined, missing the easiest days out on the practice field. Like,
it's a lot of coins. I ain't going to lie.
The Chiefs are kind of winning right now in that regard. I don't know if the deal is going to get done. I really don't. We've been on it. Since, like we said, since the start, since Super Bowl ended, it was one of the first dominoes I thought was going to fall just because of the cap space it could potentially open up. And when that didn't happen, and now we're at the holdout point, like, I don't think he's going to get traded. I saw that going around the Twitter sphere today, and I'm sure that will continue to be a hot topic. I think they've got 2 more years of him. I think they've got him this year. I think they've got him on the franchise tag next year. And I think, you know, I think Chris Jones, if you had to ask me what I think was going to happen, I think Chris Jones is gone in 2 years, which it's only a year or two different than if they get a new deal. So it's not the end of the world, but still kind of stinks thinking that way that, like, hey, this potential Hall of Fame, you know, main cog on your defense, you only have maybe 2 years and they're going to be frustrated 2 years. And so who knows what version of you get during those 2 years. Not the greatest feeling in the world.
Exactly. It's always a tough time when you got a lot of good players on your team. And like Chris said, you get to that end of that contract and the end of their quote unquote primes, even though we know Chris is what turning 29 this year. Mm-hmm. So about to soon be 30. And like, obviously we know he played the best D tackle football in the league last year, all pro for a reason, should have got defensive player of the year in my biased opinion. But obviously we know how good CJ is. We know what he means to this team, to this defense. So, and Andy said it in multiple times in front of the cameras, in front of the mics, that he wants Chris here. He knows they're going to get something done. And Pat and Trav have made that known. So he's a leader of this team. He's one of the staples for us. So I believe they will get it done. But it is interesting to see the difference between, like Chris just stated, him being 2 years here with no deal or us getting a 3-year deal where he's guaranteed to be here when he's 30, 31, 32 years old. So it's definitely something to think about. It's definitely a hot topic. And I don't think you're going to get any Chiefs fan to be too happy about not seeing 95 out there running on the practice field. But until that day, just try to be positive, think happy thoughts. And I know they're going to deal because the cap hit is just too crazy for them to not even have him play this year or trade him. And that's why, like Chris said, that trade thought is just so blasphemy because the Tyreek Hill situation was in March, like way before the draft. And then we're in July in the middle of training camp. So obviously Chris will play for us this year. Now the capacity of his contract is the next question and debate that everyone's going on. But I truly believe him and Vito will get something done, mainly because he hasn't shown any signs of slowing down. Obviously he's at like closer to 30 than he is 25, which is definitely the kind of like the death note when anytime you're a great player. But obviously, Chris is arguably 1-2 at his position in the league right now. And I truly believe it's hard to replace any top players on your roster, but it's hard to replace a guy in the middle of training camp. So that's why you don't want to go through a season without Chris Jones being happy. So I think they figured out a way to get a deal done to help both sides. And I think the one nugget that Chris that's hurting this deal and not getting done is the guarantee that's signing. I think overall the guarantees per year, they're probably agreeing on a number. I think it's what you want up front. Like day one, what does he get in cash to get him in camp and get his pads on? So I think that's probably the number they're still debating on. But I, like you, Chris, I think he'll be here probably by the end of the week when we get pads on. Hopefully I'm right. Cross my fingers, knock on wood. But I think they'll get a deal done for sure.
I hope you're right. And, again, I've been wrong about this whole situation, so I hope I'm wrong again. And I hope a deal does get done. But, like, just the way this progressed, the way the story dropped today.
Yeah.
It just – again, it's like
– it sucks, man.
It sounds weird because, like, you still have them for 2 years more than likely because of the franchise tag. And because they're not going to trade in this year, like, they're just gonna, but there's a big difference between getting a happy Chris Jones who feels like he's paid for 3 to 4 years and 2 years of a Chris Jones that's pissed off and, like, doesn't feel like the franchise cares about him. And so what kind of effort are you going to get? You know, if he tweaks something small in the playoffs, is he going to push through it? Or maybe playoffs is a bad example, but, you know, regular season game. Going to push through it or – you're going to be like, you know, they don't care about me. Why should I care about them kind of ordeal? Exactly. Like, that mindset is just completely different, even if we are looking, you know, the difference between 2 years or 3 to 4 years. So
absolutely.
My biggest concern, do you think he's going about it right? Like, I don't know. If I was Chris Jones, I'd still be at camp. I'd still be like the, oh, man, I pulled a hammy, coach, can't practice today. Like,
you just want him here. He just don't have to practice, but just still be present.
Right, and then he could still speak in front of the media and, like, kind of tell his side, you know, and not in so many words because I know you don't really necessarily do that once you're at camp. You don't, you know, throw the team under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But still be like, you know, and we've seen in not so many words be like, you know, hey, I think I'm one of the best, if not the best, D-tackle in the league. I'm out here to do my thing. You know, there's ways to get your point across without bashing people. And if I was in his situation – I think that's what I'd be doing. And it would save me $50,000 a day. You know, absolutely. That's a big part.
Dude, there's a way to speak without speaking. And I think that probably is the main point of the component of why he's probably not here. Having to answer the same question every day for what, 2 weeks straight or 3 weeks of him not being in camp. So I get why he's not here. I would prefer him to be here, even if it's not practicing, like Chris said. But he made a decision. He stand on it. He stood by it. So obviously we all want him here. Beast wants him here. And he's not missing anything crazy as far as like work-wise, because this is the easier part of camp, like Chris stated earlier. But we want Chris Jones in the building. We all want him to be a part of the team, just to build the camaraderie, just to be in front of the guys. And his voice and his presence is just so much. It's huge on this team. As far as, like, the pillars of this franchise is obviously Trav, Pat, and then we got Chris along with the three as well. So he means everything for us, and we definitely want him here. 9-5 is missed, and hopefully we can get in here. We're in July 24th recording today, Chris. So hopefully in the next 6 to 7 days we can get him here in the building. So at least we can get him in and start rotating them in with the other guys when they start doing pad. I know they only get, I think, 5 padded practices for the whole training camp, maybe 4. Like, I think it's something around there. So you don't get that many time to hit. So I would suspect that he's here for maybe one of the first 2 times we definitely put pads on, just to get that feeling going. But I'm sure him and Veach are working very hard on trying to get a number down for sure.
Right. Number one thing Chiefs fans have been talking about all offseason. And now let's move to, let's be real. This is probably the number two thing Chiefs fans have been talking about all season is, can Kadarius Toney stay healthy? And before they can even get to the first water break, he's already hurt.
And I saw the whole thing. He was taking fielding punts. They weren't doing like a full-on punt return drill. They were just fielding the punt. Just catch, take one, two steps, and you move. He caught three punts and then walked off the field. And then I saw a tweet saying he tweaked his knee. I'm like, tweak what? He ran through the drill full speed three times, jogged back to the huddle, and then just walked off. I thought he was just like cramping or something, or he just wanted to go get stretched out, and he was coming back out to practice. He just never came back out. I'm like, just walked into the tent and just sat there. I was like, okay.
So three punts.
Literally caught three punts and then walked off.
Three punts into training camp.
That's why I don't know if it's really serious or they're just – Andy said they're being precautionary. Then obviously Kadarius himself tweeted out and said the sources are not completely true.
Of course he's going to say that. He's always talking, man. He's always saying something.
Hey, we've always had a talker on the team. First it was Tyrann Mathieu, now it's Kadarius. It's the Chiefs tradition, Chris. You know, it wouldn't be any different.
There is a difference, though, from Tyreek and Tyrann talking. Like, those guys were staples available and
always there. Yeah,
all pros.
It's true.
Here's the thing with Kadarius, and people are going to throw out Sammy Watkins and like how a lot of Chiefs fans have admiration for Sammy because he helped win a Super Bowl like Kadarius. There's a little bit of a difference. There's longevity, you know, there. And there's also, you know, Sammy said some weird things, but he wasn't running his mouth a lot like he was the greatest off the field all the time. And it's like Kadarius, you know, seven games into his Chiefs career has maybe been the most vocal Chief off the field. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it feels with you. For me, it's not sitting great because there are so many questions. And, like, I love when guys talk. I love when people get lippy, the back and forth, like what Jamar Chase is doing for the Chiefs. Like, I absolutely love that stuff. Don't hold anything against him. But you got to be available. You got to have a little street cred to be able to do that. And sure, Kadarius has a great punt return, scored a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Like, huge moments guys things dream of. But is that still enough to, over, you know, a three-year career and seven games with this franchise, to, like, be talking and showboating as much as he is? I don't know. That's just kind of where I am with the guy that's already hurt.
I guess it depends who you're talking to, because most fans like you, Chris, they would say you haven't built up or played up and built up enough credibility to talk like that. But then you ask the other half of the fans, they'll say, hey, in the biggest moments we needed him in the season, he showed up. So I can't really be too mad because we got another trophy.
Not the AFC Championship game.
Exactly.
Not the AFC Championship game.
Well, outside of that, he did miss that game as well. But
he dropped a touchdown. He dropped the touchdown on the one play. He did get the AFC touchdown.
But he also caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl and had the biggest return in Super Bowl history. So it's like it's a slippery slope. It's like, which one do you want to nitpick at? And I'm like you. I like it when players talk. And I don't really get the – I know fans are kind of upset sometimes when players get a little too chatty. But I mean, when some people get disrespected so much, eventually that celebrity tag kind of goes out the window. And nobody, like, as a human being, as a man or a woman, you never want to see anybody disrespect you as a person. So, and obviously you would like to keep those things private and not put them in on the public line. But unfortunately, we live in a very public society right now. So everything you do is news. Whether it be you're walking outside, Chris, you can go out there and check your mail. People are going to say something about you. Oh, I saw you at the grocery store, whoop-de-whoop, and you didn't blah, blah, blah. You didn't tip well. I'm like, you can really get criticized for anything nowadays. So I get it, Kadarius. Like, anything you do is new. So I'm not mad at you for being in the public eye. You're one of the best players in the Super Bowl. He clearly showed it. If anybody was going to get MVP, it was probably going to be Pat and Jalen, obviously. Nick Bolton was in the conversation. And Kadarius Toney, he had two of the biggest plays in the game. So he definitely had a big role in us winning and bringing another Lombardi back to Kansas City. But at the same time, I want him available. But, Chris, I'm not upset because I know who this is. The title says this is who he is. He's been hurt ever since he's been in the league. Now, my goal is for him to play 10 games. But if he misses games or misses practice, this is literally what I expected. I didn't expect him to play every day in training camp. I don't expect him to play all 17 games, Chris. So I don't get what fans are really upset about. I'm like, well, mainly because I watched it. That's why I wasn't upset. I'm like, he really didn't do anything. He really caught a punt, went full speed for like 2 seconds, jogged back to the huddle, did that three times, and then just walked off. I was like, okay, so I thought he was getting stretched. It was going to come back outside, but he never came back. So I was like, and then Andy said he wants to be cautious and not obviously overwork him and overexert him or anything. Chris, to be honest, I really don't. I try to be as blunt as possible and be respectful at the same time. I really don't care if Kadarius Toney practices in training camp. I don't need to see anything. I don't need to see him practice. He can sit there for 2 weeks. For me, I don't care. Like, if he says, what, he'll be ready the week before game week, that's great enough for me. As long as he's there, he's healthy and nothing pulled, nothing broken, nothing strained or anything. Just sit there till what, September 1st or like August 30th, that week before game week. If you're ready to go by then, that's all good with me, buddy. I know it's not going to sit well with a lot of fans because they want him to play more in practice. But honestly, I don't need to see Kadarius Toney practice. He can sit on the sideline for all I care, Chris.
I get what you're saying. Like, and that's true for a lot of players. I mean, I feel the same way about Kelsey, Chris Jones, like even Patrick. You know, quarterback's a little different, but even if Patrick had something, like, it wouldn't be the end of the world in training camp. But I think what's bugging me, man, is like every decision the Chiefs have made and everything they've said publicly when it comes to wide receivers has been like they're the only people that didn't realize that Kadarius Toney was injury prone. You know, like they're not
calculated,
you know,
risk for sure.
You could get Juju for cheap. You could have traded up to get, you know, one of those first round wide receivers instead of second round wide receiver. You could have done something to maybe bring in DeAndre Hopkins. And while all of those things were looked at, they weren't taken real seriously. And one of the main, if not the biggest reason, was because this franchise kept telling us that Kadarius Toney is our guy. He's our number one. He's going to be the guy that the offense goes through out of the wide receivers. And like 3 punts in, he's already hurt. You know, so that's my biggest issue with they've made so many decisions, like publicly, not even like read between the lines decisions, like they're basically came out and said it, that this is our guy and the man's already hurt. And so, like, I don't know, that's where I'm at. I need to see a little bit more. I don't even need to see him like perform well at training camp. I just need to see that he can, you know, string a couple days together without having to miss time, because that just doesn't seem possible with him right now.
Absolutely. It's definitely rough. And thankfully, football is a game where you get a week off in between. So even 2 weeks off when you got the bye. So thankfully, with a guy like Kadarius, for me, Chris, I've kind of tried to state this in the group chats and fans I've talked to throughout the city. Health over reps when it comes to Kadarius Toney. Now, other guys, they need the reps to get better. With Kadarius, he is who he is. He's an amazing athlete. He's so explosive. Like me and Chris stated earlier in our previous episodes, he's probably too explosive for his own body. And unfortunately, that it is what it is. I don't think he's going to naturally or magically become a healthier player. Obviously, I believe we have the best training staff, medical staff in the whole entire NFL. Shout out to Rick and the whole guys out there. They're doing an amazing job. I think they will have him ready for week one and the best they can have him ready for the season. I think he can play. My prediction for him is somewhere around 9 to 10 games. And if he does that, plus, and then obviously in the postseason, those games as well, that'll be a good season for me. I don't suspect him to play like 13 or 14 games, like a lot of fans would want him to. I just don't think that's in him. And honestly, like, Chris, even if he had to miss, say we get to the bye and he's missed 2 or 3 of those games, could we last without him? Absolutely. Yeah. If we, the second after the bye, if he missed another 2 or 3 games and we got down to like week 14, 15, and he played the rest of the year, I'd be great with that. Honestly, like, I want him to play. I want him to be there for every snap, but I have to be honest and be realistic with myself. Is he going to be there for every game? Probably not. And I don't think what Andy and what Pat says, I know they believe in him, because ability-wise, nobody in Kansas City should ever question Kadarius Toney's ability. He's an amazing player. We know how talented he is. I think the only thing we question is his health, and I don't think that's not naturally or magically going to change out of thin air. I think they can manage it to the best of their ability, and I don't trust nobody more in the league than our medical staff, especially after they did together for things like Sammy Watkins, the things they did for Frank Clark and multiple other guys, and Pat's ankle, who we was on ankle watch when he was in the playoffs as well. So I don't trust anybody in the league more than Rick and the whole medical staff, because I know they'll have KT ready to go. But at the end of the day, we just have to be honest and be realistic with our expectations. And I think KT has the talent and the ability to be a wide receiver one, but unfortunately, his health does not allow him to be a wide receiver one. So when the team says, hey, he's our guy, they could do this, in my mind, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, yeah, Chris, it sounds good, but until I see him play 10 games straight, I don't really take anything you say seriously on that front because of the fact of his injury history. So as long as he's out there and he's making plays for us in November and December, and most importantly, January, Chris, that's all that really matters to me. So,
dude, making Raul Mondesi look like Cal Ripken Jr.
Shout out to Alberto Mondesi, man.
Gosh,
man.
Like,
talk about injuries. Woo,
Sammy Watkins looking like an iron horse out there. But who benefits the most from Kadarius Toney not getting these reps in camp?
Richie James.
We need to talk about that. I need to ask that question before, because that's where I was at too. I saw everyone talk about Justin Ross on that question. I'm like,
yeah. Richie James had an amazing day. And he looked like a Miko clone. He's wearing the 17 out there. So we were watching him, and the fan was standing next to me. He's like, Miko. I'm like, you wish. So no, it was good to see Richie go out there make plays. Obviously, a lot of East Coast fans know him for what he did with the Giants and his partial time with the San Francisco 49ers. But Richie looked good, man. Obviously, it's only pass. You can only take so much from it. But they did a lot of those same plays. that Chris loves so much in that Miko role. A lot of jet sweeps, deep overs, quick crossers, stuff that could use your speed and your quickness for guys like Richie. And he played well for the role he was doing in the red. He got a lot of touches in the red zone, which I was shocked by. When they went into the red zone, he was getting like 3-4 plays back to back, like with targets trying to throw a touchdown to him. So they're obviously trying to get him involved. And obviously practice, they rotate guys who's going to run with the ones. But Richie got a lot of run with those guys. And obviously this is a perfect time for us to see that, because Chris said, Kadarius Toney went down, who steps up? And we both said it at the same time, Richie James. So I know a lot of people were skeptical about him making the team. And when I told Chris in our group chat with our friends, I was like, I think he's a lock to make the team, because for one, he plays special teams. So David Tobe loves you. That's your green check right there. You already know he's going to get reps in the receiver room, because there's really no true wide receiver one. So it's a rotation. So everybody's going to have their chance to play. So Richie made a lot of plays. Obviously, Justin Ross is going to get his opportunity as well, to Chris's point. But Richie James definitely benefits the most from Kadarius Toney missing any time, whether it be in practice, training camp, or during the regular season. So I expect a lot of things from Richie.
Yeah, he had nearly 600 yards on a team with a very similar situation.
Yep.
In the Giants with a much worse quarterback. You know, absolutely, they don't have a good receiver core last year. Now he's coming to a team that doesn't have as great receiving core, but the quarterback plays so much better that, like,
exactly,
I think he can get another 500, 600 yards, absolutely, this year, especially if Kadarius Toney is missing time.
Exactly. And he returns punts. Like, he can really be an electrical player for us. And I know a lot of people aren't familiar with him, but he returned a lot of explosive kicks when he was with the 49ers. So he's a guy that can take it to the house. And obviously, you get the ball in his hands, he can make plays, like, to Chris's point. So
that does, you know, really, though, put an exclamation point on the state of the wide receiver core in Kansas City when we're talking about Richie James as like guy that's going to be a guy. Hey, like,
Sky bumped him up today. Sky said it in his presser. He was like, man, Richie, nice.
Right.
He just bumped him up. So,
Well, Sky, Richie taking reps from you. So,
hey. It's a rotational thing.
No, I know. And Sky's going to be, Sky would probably be second on my list as far as guy. Absolutely. I mean, Sky's already going to get a lot of reps being a second year guy that they really need to work out. So, like, mm-hmm, I think he was still going to get those reps whether KT's healthy or not, but I still think in getting that elongated look, those extra reps, yep, Sky would be my second. I know Justin Ross was taking some first team reps, people getting excited anytime you say his name because of the talent he is. Again, he falls into the Kadarius Toney.
Yep. They're in the same role.
With less no proof that he could do it at this level. There's no proof. Again, there's going to be so many people that if Justin Ross works out, they're going to be like, I told you so. I told you so. That's fine. You can tell me that. But, like, I ain't going to be in that group until I see it. Like, I will gladly put my foot in my mouth if the kid comes out and balls out and has a few nice moments. But, like, outside of being the seventh wide receiver on this team and, like, barely sneaking in, like, the expectations are zero. The only reason we talk about him on this show, because you all like to talk about him on social media.
You heard Chris. He said you all like to talk
about him. Yeah.
No, I'm excited for Justin Ross. And obviously, like you said, this is a great opportunity for him. And I've kind of told people this is why I'm so excited about this wide receiver room this year, mainly because we have so many guys that can make plays. We know Justin Watson, for even his flaws, he made a lot of big plays for us last year, whether it be catching punts when we needed to in emergencies or catching a double move off J.C. Jackson, $100 million J.C. Jackson for the Chargers in that Thursday night game last year. So we have a lot of guys that can come in at the drop of a hat. If we need them to come in and make a play, they can do that. MVS had the best wide receiver performance last year in the playoffs. Definitely didn't see that coming. Sky is in a big year, too. We expect a lot of things out of him. He looks good, Chris. He's catching almost everything thrown to him. He's making plays before the catch and after the catch as well. So I'm super excited for Sky. I think he's probably going to be our second leading reception guy. After Travis, I think he's going to lead the leading team. Like the second receptions after Travis for this team this year. I'm really, really excited for 24, man. Sky looks good. He looks ready. He looks focused. You can tell it in his presence, the way he walks, the way he talks in the press conferences after practice. He looks ready to go. So I'm super excited for Sky this year. And then obviously we have other guys that are going to make plays like Richie James. Rasheed Rice made a big catch today over Trent McDuffie in the red zone. He's another guy that could definitely – Chris doesn't. Maybe he breaks the – and we've had, like, I think they broke down the averages of how many yards a rookie receiver for Andy Reid usually goes for. I think it's around, like, 250. That's usually around the yardages. And they probably get around, like, I think it's, like, 19 and a half catches. Or, like, 15 and a half, sorry.
J-Mac, one of the guys to break that mold. I think he's one of the guys on the higher end.
Exactly. Miko broke it. I think Sky just broke it last year in his limited time. So, Rasheed Rice is another guy that could benefit from Kadarius Toney being out. So, having six or seven receivers in other teams, Chris – maybe a downfall because they're like, yeah, you don't have a wide receiver one. But when you have a tight end one like a Travis Kelce, when you have the best quarterback in football like Patrick Mahomes, and you have, in my opinion, the best offensive line in football like we do here, it makes your job a lot easier from a receiver standpoint because you know you're not going to see too much double coverage. You know you're going to get time to get open, and you know your quarterback's going to put it where the ball needs to be. So all you have to do as a receiver is just get open. Get to your spot. Number 15 will find you. Andy will dial it up, and let's see what we can do, man.
No, I'm with you. Well said. Well said, my man. The wide receiver core, like it has been all offseason. Like it has been for the last over year since March of 2022 when Tyreek got traded. Like just something to keep an eye on and kind of see if 15, Big Red, and 87 can overcome it, which so far, like, they have been. So
let's see.
So last thing we got to get into, with it being training camp, there's always fun things to look for, things that people will want to see, because there's, you only can take it so seriously. But CJ, who are a guy or a group, or who are you watching at the camp?
New faces and new places, Chris. We had a lot of new guys out there. One guy that's been getting a lot of buzz for the first 2 days, and we're only on day two today, but your guy down where you live at, Chris, Tulsa, Oklahoma's finest, Denarik Prince. He's been having a great camp so far. I've been hearing a lot of things. I saw it myself. He caught almost everything thrown at him, Chris. And I know that was his quote-unquote weakness coming into the draft. Like, hey, does he catch well? He's like a bigger back, so maybe he's just like stiff. His hands have been very soft. He's caught in almost every ball thrown to him that I've seen. Obviously, he's had a couple drops here and there, but he's making catches in the red zone, making catches down the sideline, obviously breaking tackles without them really hitting each other. But he looks fast and he looks physical, so I would love to see what he does when they get fully padded up and ready to go. But 34 looks good, man. He's out there catching everything thrown to him. And you know Andy Reid won't put a back out there if you're not really ready to catch a pass, whether it be screen, checkdowns, and things of that sort, maybe a little shovel pass here and there. If you don't have good mitts, I don't think Big Red is going to be too confident in you. So even when we go back to days of like Sharkendrick West, Darrell Williams, Damian Williams, if you want to play in this offense as a running back, non-exclusively like to the big star names like Jamal Charles and Kareem Hunt and obviously Isaiah Pacheco, if you can catch the ball, you'll always have a role in this offense. We saw Jerry McKinnon have 9 touchdowns straight at the end of the season last year because he just kept getting open in the red zone. I don't know why they couldn't cover him, but I mean, maybe he just hid behind the lineman and just snuck out every play. But I'm super excited for Denarik because, like, this running back room is so complete, Chris. We have depth, we have veterans, we have younger guys, we have speed, we have power, guys that can catch the ball, guys that can run people over. This is probably one of the more exciting running back rooms we've had probably since we had guys like Damian, Darrell Williams, and obviously the brief stint we have with Kareem Hunt. So it's a legit room for me, Chris, 1 through 4. And when you have 4 guys you can lean on in such a long season, that helps guys like Isaiah Pacheco, who's recovering from shoulder surgery this offseason. A guy like Jerry McKinnon let his younger or older legs get more time and get more rest to get ready for the season as well. And it gives a chance to guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire to go in there and, you know, be competitive. And you got a guy coming for your third spot. And who would have said that 3 years ago that our first-round running back is fighting for RB3? But that's the situation we're in right now. And this, you know how it is, Chris. Competition brings out the best in you. And it usually makes you play at your best because nobody wants to be outdone. No one wants to be embarrassed. And everybody wants to make plays for this team in any capacity. Because, you know, when we get in the red zone, if you're not Jerry McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, or Travis Kelce, you have to be ready at any time because your number could be called. Hey, this is the kind of coverage we got. This is the look we're getting. The play's coming to you. So we have a lot of guys that can make plays. We had 13 guys catch a touchdown last year for a reason, Chris. So I don't expect that number to change. It may get higher this year. It may go up to 15. You never know. So it's 4 tight ends. We got 4 running backs and 7 receivers. That's 7-11. It's 15 people, Chris. That's a lot of guys who can catch a football. So we have the number one red zone offense in the league for a reason. I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
And that doesn't even include guys like, you know, Nick Allegretti sneaking out for
the lineman.
That's a lineman. So, you know, you never know what could happen with the Danny Reid. Dude, I love Nick.
I'm
going to
get his autograph. I'm like, you got to sign it, bro.
I absolutely love that, like, man. For no real reason other than he's just like, he's whatever you need him, he's there. And I love it.
Shout out Nick Allegretti, man.
Oh, man. No, I'm the president of the Nick Allegretti fan club.
Absolutely. The Stan Club. Chris, he's the president. That's absolutely. Nobody's a bigger fan of our lineman.
Hey, I was loving those pictures you were snapping at camp too with the.
Oh yeah, if you guys can go to our Twitter page, please retweet it. I try to get some content, see all the fans get engaged. I try to get Allegretti to sign something, but he didn't come over there in time. I was trying to get a football on the side of Chris. Chris would have lost his mind.
Oh, man.
He's going to lose it, bro.
Yeah, you know, Mahomes would have been nice. Trelsey, nah, but, you know, you would have got me that Nick Allegretti on the draft, man.
Chris would have dropped down dead. But no, it was good to see guys like Joe Tooney, Trey Smith, and Creed Humphrey. They all went out there. Harrison Bucker was signing merchandise as well. So they were taking care of the fans, and it was good to see so many kids. And I heard so many stories, Chris, people driving down from Chicago, Texas, Iowa, and somebody even came from Michigan down to there. Yeah. So Chiefs Kingdom is growing. There's a lot of fans who don't even want to come down for football games. They coming down to watch a 2-hour practice. That lets you know how dedicated these fans are. Even we had a practice today scheduled at 9 o'clock. There was one of the reporters tweeted out the fans were sitting out there at like 5:50 a.m., 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, nobody does it more bigger and nobody does it better than Chiefs Kingdom, Chris. And you've known that from experience and me as well. So I'm proud of this fan base. I love these fans. We have the best fans in the league, and I think it's hands down. It's not even a question. I'm super excited for these guys going forward to see what they can do. And the fans are definitely super excited as well.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I'm excited to see where it's go. I got to get to my player I'm watching. And the reason I'm watching this guy, I feel like it's kind of almost because of all the Chris Jones stuff and the receivers and, you know, the little bit of a shuffle on the line. No one's talking about how Brian Cook's the new starting safety. You know, Thornhill's gone, and Cook's stepping right in. And, like,
Chris, he should be better than him.
Huh?
He should be better than Warren, technically.
I know. And we saw some flashes, like the AFC Championship game, you know, that play he made to tip it up, you know, to get the pick was to Joshua Williams was great. But, like, there still was enough, you know, indecisiveness and missed plays on the few reps he got. He also had some dumb penalties, you know, and had a little bit of a hothead at points. Like, I'm just curious what that looks like. And it's not necessarily a doubting him. I'm not watching him because I'm I just want to kind of see what he's got in the full-time role. He's a second-year player. And it's not just him. I think I'd extend that to all the second-year guys. I think they kind of get forgotten about a little bit with the new rookie class, with some of the new faces. It's kind of forget, like, how does Trent McDuffie build on a very strong half season that he was available? You know,
absolutely.
George Karloftis came on great the second half last year. You know, we really only talk about Sky moving into the second years, but I would take, you know, Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, like all these guys that some of them overperformed, some of them underperformed, but all of them were a role on the Super Bowl team. How well do they take that next step? So Cook's my number one, but I really would group that entire 2022 rookie class into one and just kind of seeing, you know, what these guys got in the tank. Are we looking for sophomore slumps, or are they going to continue to build on what was mostly a very successful rookie season for that group?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree better, brother. You got it. They're all going to have their opportunities. I think Trent McDuffie's starting to get a lot more vocal. I see him like yelling at a lot of guys more. So he's running with the ones. Obviously, it was him, Snead, and Jalen as our first three cornerback rotation out there. Then obviously we rotated the other guys in. But yeah, I'm excited for Brian Cook. And you can see guys like Mike Edwards, the vet, was kind of hyping him up, saying Brian's out there carrying himself like he's a vet. So he's a second-year guy in the system. Like Chris said, he knows what to do now. And I think that's just kind of the greatest thing to seeing about the young guys. They're not really asking questions anymore. They're answering questions. So the young guys are coming up to them saying, hey, Trent, what do I need to do? Sky, how do I get open on this? Brian, what kind of coverage are we running? I mean, you got guys like the second-year guys barking out coverages, barking out orders, and kind of making the veterans' job easier. When you got young guys that are showing leadership, it sets the standard and the tone for the whole football team. So it's not only Pat, not only Trav and Chris when he gets here, those guys yelling to try to set the tone. It's the younger guys. And when you have that kind of energy and that kind of standard throughout your football team, it's easier to, you know how coaches say, we really don't have to like coach the players. They kind of coach themselves because they know each other what to do. They hold each other accountable when they make a mistake. The coach doesn't have to yell at you, Chris. The players can yell at you and get on you. And obviously we miss Eric Bieniemy and for all his vocal leadership, but I saw a lot of yelling at practice on day one when I was out there. So I think guys definitely try to keep that spirit and keep that same energy. And the standard doesn't change just because it's a different year, different date. We know what the end goal is at the end of the day, Chris. And I see guys staying after practice, getting after it, getting better with the pass rush moves. And Sky and some of the DBs getting some extra work after practice. Guys see what it takes to win. They know what it takes to get to that point. So, and guys want to taste that victory again. I think they're going to try to do everything in their power to get that moment back here in Kansas City. And just seeing guys hold each other accountable early in camp is such a great thing, Chris, to see. And I'm super excited, super, super ready.
It's going to be a good camp. There's going to be a lot of stuff to watch for, even the preseason games with so many new guys and young guys. Like, they'll be fun as well. Man, football's here, CJ.
It's here back, man. And we have a preseason game in Arizona. We're right back where it started.
Yeah, right back where it started.
So where else would we want to go?
Can't get away from Arizona, man. So it'll be good to watch. Only three preseason games, so I'm curious to kind of see.
Only one at home this year. Usually we get two. We only got one this year.
Boo-hoo, you know, kind of like, sense. Gosh, can't go out to Arrowhead for
– Well, you know, some of the fans, game, you know, everyone's but, not – it's like the tickets are getting kind of pricey
that's
now.
That's true. That's true. You are actually right. That was very disrespectful on my part. You know, it is sometimes the best opportunity to go out and experienced Arrowhead. So only one. Maybe that one will be a little bit more packed this year. So
hopefully, hopefully. But hey, yeah. When you, it's the week before the ring ceremony, so I expect a lot more people. So
it might be going on, but
absolutely, buddy.
I think that's going to do it for us this week. We're back getting into the swing of things, you know, starting to have episodes regularly every week. Now, as I say that, I'm going to let next week's a little up in the air because unless some big news drops like, you know, Chris Jones finally.
Quinn, please.
It might just be the same old song as this week, so we may skip next week. So we'll keep a lookout. But pretty much rather after that, we're rolling. We'll be here. We'll be dropping episodes every Tuesday for the rest of the season, looking over previous games, going, getting a slight preview to the next week's games and just doing the whole shebang. So keep an eye on it. And even when we're not doing episodes, CJ, where can the good people, I know you got it right there, but for our audio team, like,
they can definitely find me on Twitter at CGZ81. That's CJEEZY81. I would definitely try to post more content of everything I see at training camp. I'm going to try to go up there at least probably 3 more times. So I'm going to try to get a lot more pictures, a lot more clips, so me and Chris can give you guys a lot more visual up close of what the players and the coaches are doing. So if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, you know my DMs are always open if you want to talk ball, fantasy. We're definitely going to try to give you guys some betting info. I know me and Chris have been working offline trying to get a show for that to give you guys some information as well. So we're trying to make sure we get all our bases covered so everyone in Chiefs Kingdom can feel involved, whether you're a fan that loves to talk X's and O's, if you're a fan that loves to watch the players, fan that love to bet, or a fan that just likes to enjoy the sweet sounds of people arguing about Chiefs football. So we're trying to make sure everyone is accommodated for sure.
We may not be the perfect show for arguing because CJ and I see eye to eye on 90%.
But
yeah, we still have some fun back and forth. But I'm not the exact same way. You can follow me on Twitter at TenPenny88. And also make sure to follow, and you've been seeing it if you're watching on YouTube, but on Twitter at Aftermath_KC. Having a little bit more content, that's where CJ puts all his pictures. He does his daily countdown where he puts a new Chiefs player for how many days we are to football. What was it? Today was 45. And 45 who'd you originally post?
I think, who did I post today? I know you posted Michael Burton.
Yeah, I went Burton.
No, you got me, man.
But he went old school on as a guy. There's not a lot of great 45s in Chiefs Kingdom.
Not that many of us, so we had that much to choose from.
So he went a little old school on me. If you're an old head and that number 45 that he posted is one of your favorites, I apologize. But I went with a little bit more.
I try to accommodate all of our older and newer.
Yeah,
I'm digging the archives, Kingdom. I'm going back to the 60s, 70s. Obviously, I could do newer guys of today. So I'm trying to make sure everyone feels included in Chiefs.
You do a good job, man. I love seeing them and drop every day. I just, you know, Michael Burton, you know, like
Big Burton, baby.
Another random.
If you guys have questions or players you want to see, let me know. If you have a player you want me to post, hey, DM me. I'll do my best to try to get it out there for sure.
Perfect. Always out there for the people, CJ. I love it. But all right, that's going to do it for us this time. We will talk to you next time.
Chiefs.